This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one person who somehow plans their entire trip using points and avoids a sick-hour layover? Well, that's the kind of energy Smart Travel brings. NerdWallet's travel writers break down how to use AI to plan smarter trips without being optimized into a ridiculous layover, when a travel advisor can actually save you money and unlock perks that you didn't even know existed, whether it's better to pay cash or use points, and how to tell the difference. Upgrade trips, not bills, with NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Today's guest started where many of you might be right now. New to points and miles, earbuds in, binging episodes, and wondering if she could actually pull it off. Then she took action. Katie began with small wins, felt those first transfer nerves, learned the tools, and leveled up fast, creating a trip to Europe with smart positioning, using Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts credits, and even cashing in on Navy Federal Credit Union points of all things for 3 coastal night stays, as well as booking the Thompson in Madrid on Hyatt points, complete with a balcony big enough to host a party. And she flew home an American flagship business in lie-flat luxury. Her total cash outlay? About $600 for her and $600 for her friend. If you've been stuck at beginner, well, this is the play-by-play of how to level up quickly, what she learned, what she booked, and the exact moves that turn Lisbon, the Algarve, and Madrid into a string of points and miles wins.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, we have a fantastic guest ready for all of you all. But before we introduce her, a couple quick reminders. First, that you can watch all of these episodes in their full entirety on our YouTube channel, Boldly Go World, at Boldly Go World, I should say. At the same time, we do have our vlog style videos on our other YouTube channel, that's Boldly Go Travels. And for those of you that watch our content on YouTube, don't forget on Fridays, we have our up-to-date points and miles and travel news that comes out on the audio only version of this podcast every Friday. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. And that's going to be everything that you need to know that's up to date within a week at least when it comes to points, miles, travels, deals, etc., etc. So without further ado, I want to introduce a fantastic woman for all of you. Her name is Katie Powers. Katie is a both friend and client of mine, and through our conversations in financial planning and travel, that's how she initially got into the world of points and miles. She has been binging this podcast, as she says, very heavily over the last year or so, and she's had some incredible, incredible redemptions. So after talking with her, I thought it'd be great to have her come on the show and to give her perspective of someone that's newer into points and miles that's already had some really, really cool redemptions. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Katie, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, what you do for a living. And I know I already teased how the connection got you into the points and miles world, but I'd love to hear it from your end.
Yeah. So a little bit about me. I do real estate. I've done real estate for a very long time. In the last year, I also started working with Electrified Marina. We sell electric boats. It's a very new industry. It's out of my comfort zone. It's been quite an experience, and it has also involved a little bit of travel, which is a big benefit. So that's a little bit about what I do for work. DeAndre and I have been friends for a while, and I have trusted him with my financials for a while as well. And it's been something I've kind of watched. Sometimes you just watch people before you decide what you think about certain things. So it's been really cool to watch your travel develop and me have a better understanding of what you do and dabble in it a little myself. So how I started being interested in Points and Miles is, again, just kind of seeing what you were doing and hearing about it. And travel is something that really just kind of brings my soul back to life. It's important to me, and it's something that, based on different seasons of my life, I have or have not been able to do as much as I would want to. And in this last year, I made a goal for myself to do one trip a month. And they didn't all have to be out of the country or even fly, but it was a big part of my goal for 2025. And so far, I am right on track. I have one more trip to plan in December. I've got my November trip planned. So I wanted to be able to do that and also do it financially responsible. So that was a big motivator in understanding more about points. I also have a little bit of bougie taste. I like the nice things sometimes. And paying like $4,000 for a one-way business class flight to Portugal was like, oh, that's a lot of money. So using points has definitely been something that it's like a healthy hobby, I would say. Instead of scrolling, you're just kind of researching different websites and hotels. And I can't say that it's not a little bit addictive, because it is, but it's better than just brain rotting, as they say.
I love that. I love that. So the Points and Miles research and travel has helped to eliminate some of the doom scrolling, which I never really thought of, but that's true. You spend so much time just researching and finding trips that it takes away time for doing things that aren't productive at all, which I love that terminology, that it's a healthy hobby. So Katie, a question for you, just for a little bit of clarity, because you just said, hey, I wanted to travel. My goal is to travel, make one trip a month this year. That's 12 trips. From a comparison standpoint, in last year or years past, how many trips were you taking a year? Because I think that could really help create some perspective on what Points and Miles has allowed you to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would depend. I think little local trips, like we have a fantastic group of friends that we're always getting into something fun and interesting. So like local trips, we were doing like, you know, maybe four times a year, further trips occasionally. My little brother lives on the Big Island of Hawaii. I've gone every single year since he moved there. I love it. So definitely not leaving the country very often prior to this year, which is something I wanted to make changes in my life to be able to do. Also, I'm, again, in real estate, self-employed. You can't always predict what your income is going to look like. So you just have to kind of budget your trips is a little tricky. And that's, again, where I kind of point to DeAndre and check in with him on how I'm looking for what I need to be doing. But yeah, I would say I had not left the country in a number of years prior to 2025. And that was something that needed to change.
So you've had some really cool trips this year. We're going to get into that, but I want to talk a little bit first about what was your process for learning. Now, obviously, yes, we had conversations either when we're chatting as friends or when we're talking through financial planning and those conversations, but there's a lot in this world of points and miles. So what's been your process for yourself for learning? Because everyone learns a little bit differently. Some people are capable of just scouring and reading blogs for days, or just jumping into a Reddit thread and having a conversation. Others, you know, we have our WhatsApp community chat, so they ask questions there. And of course, we have the podcast here, and there's YouTube videos, there's Instagram. There's so much stuff out there, right? It's so easy to get overwhelmed with all the information out there. What's been your process, Katie, for learning the Points and Miles world?
Well, honestly, the podcast has been probably the number one thing. I think listening to all the different guests you've had on has helped me really understand. I can go back and replay it, so that way I don't have to ask you the same thing four times. Like, oh, that's what you should do with Chase, or this is the difference in that. And then once you're in it, you're going to start seeing stuff come up like in your Instagram. You're going to start seeing different things come up just like website wise and recommendations, and some of the apps that you recommended or websites you recommended. I heard it and then went on there myself. You know, points.yeah is one that I like a lot. The Card Pointers app, it's been very helpful for me. And so just listening and paying attention, and then also, again, the algorithm, it'll get you. So once you're a little bit dabbling in it, you won't be surprised to see other things that are like points and miles content that can be helpful as well.
Now, I know a lot of listeners, they come into this and they get into this field, they start learning, but they have that analysis paralysis and they have a struggle of taking action and not really sure, oh, is this the right redemption? Am I doing it right? Am I going to make a mistake? And I completely understand that 100% because this is a little bit nuanced, or I should say greatly nuanced, in all the different ways that you can go about both earning and redeeming points. I'm curious for you, if I remember correctly, I'm going to guess you've been in this world, in this hobby for a little over a year now, around a year-ish. How long did it take before you felt like you had a good handle on earning and redeeming points? Or was it a little bit of trial by fire? What was that feeling like? How did you get to where you are now?
So yeah, ahead of this last year, I would say I understood the portals and I understood that I was earning points with my Amex, or that was really the main card that I had started with. So I understood that. But in the last year, I've become more comfortable with transferring. That's probably still the most stressful point to me. Like, I did an Air France transfer to get to Switzerland. But anyway, that was a little bit stressful, especially when it's not an immediate, when you see your points just go somewhere and then you just kind of have to wait before you can book something. That's probably still the most stressful part. But I would say that a lot of it is that I'm an oldest daughter and I'm not afraid. I don't have analysis paralysis. Could be a good thing or a bad thing, but I definitely, I'm a little bit like jump off the rock type of personality. So I wanted to try some different things for myself. And I had a really good success early with like Alaska Airline points when it was still the workaround through Amex. And I did end up transferring like a chunk of points to still have some Alaska Airline points there. And that was really nice. I really think that once you are able to redeem your points for so much more than you would get out of the portal, it then just becomes more and more like, all right, like I want to figure this out. I want to understand this better. I want to make sure that my money is working for me in the best way that it can.
Yeah, and I can completely understand that, because one of the things I like to talk to people about is the fact that just get that first redemption. Like once you do the first one or even that first transfer, that's going to really give you a lot more confidence. And I will say, as someone that's been in this world for, I don't know, north of a decade now, I still get like heart palpitations when I hit the transfer from Amex to whatever button or Chase to whatever button, right? Like, you double check your research, all the sites say it's an instant transfer, and then you hit the transfer button and you're like, please let it actually be instant this time. Let's hopefully their whole system doesn't crash this time. I don't lose all these points this time, right? So I still get that little feeling of eh before I do it. And I've done it, I don't know, dozens upon dozens of times. So I 100% get that aspect. But the fact that you started to take some redemptions and making it happen, I think obviously, as you said, that helps build the confidence. And once you start doing it, it just keeps flowing and keeps happening. Now, would you say that there's been a concept outside of the feeling of the anxiousness of actually transferring points? Has there been something that's been difficult to wrap your head around? Or what's been the hardest thing to kind of wrap your head around when it comes to points and miles so far?
I would say the variation of value you get. It's just so vastly different. And then that's where maybe the analysis paralysis comes in, is like you start not wanting to spend your points on other things because you got such a good redemption doing this one particular thing. So it is that's been a concept that's a little difficult for me, because there's a lot of things where it's like, oh, generally it's about the same, or generally this, but there can be a huge multiplier difference of what value you're getting out of your points, not just from a dollar standpoint, but also from like an experience standpoint. So that part has been difficult to wrap my brain around, as well as it can be a little bit difficult to know, like, all right, which credit card should I be using in this situation? There's a lot of changes, as you know, all the time in the points and miles world. So it's hard to predict what will still be holding its value. Luckily for me, like I've been traveling enough and I travel enough, and I'm good about using the benefits of the cards that I do feel like I get a value out of those yearly fees that I'm paying. So that part has not stressed me out, because I've done the numbers and it's like, okay, this actually works out. I want to go to Lululemon anyway, and I like to sit in the lounge, and I would be spending $50 to have lunch and a drink anyway at the airport. So I like that part. That part has all made sense to me. I guess it's just the vast unknown and the vast, like, different options that you have and how they are rarely even remotely the same.
I can absolutely understand that. And that's why there is an angle of talking through cents per points and value of redemptions and the value of points. And at the same time, and that's where, like, the logical advisor in me kicks in, the analytical side. But even when it comes to financial planning, I talk about emotional decisions can also be just as valuable. And although you might not get the largest value out of your points that you could possibly get, right? If it's something that makes your heart happy, if it's an opportunity of a lifetime for you and your family or whatever it may be, that can be hugely beneficial as well and have a value that you just can't quantify with cents and points and dollars respectively. But I want to transition a little bit, Katie, and ask a question around velocity. And what I mean by that specifically is a lot of times people get into this world and next thing you know, they go gung-ho and they're like opening up a new card every 2 weeks. And the next thing you know, within like 4 months, they've got like 15 cards, right? And they kind of go wild with it. And then there's other people who are like, you know, I'm going to take my time. I might start with one card, maybe move to the next one, and so on and so forth. So I'm really curious, out of the last year or so, what's been your velocity, your strategy when it comes to sign-up bonuses and different things like that? Because, of course, everyone's in different spaces and everyone has different spending capacities. You being in real estate, you're a business owner. You don't have taxes come out of your paycheck. So that's another aspect that works as a business owner for you. What's been your velocity when it comes to opening cards, and which are your kind of primary cards right now?
Yeah. So to hit on a little bit of what you just said, as far as being self-employed, that's another huge benefit of the points and miles is that although the redemptions, I like have it bookmarked, the Boldly Go calculator, I use it all the time. Like, is this a good redemption or not? But there are times where it's like, oh, this month I would feel better about using points than I would feel better about using dollars. And so it's been really helpful in that way as well. So for me, I wish that I would have paid a little bit more attention to this when I was renovating my house, because I missed out on some stuff that I should have done differently. Like, now in retrospect, I'm like, man, I should have done that differently. But I had upgraded my Amex Gold to Amex Platinum and I got a sign-up bonus. And luckily, like, so I'm single, but my player too, in a way, is like a friend every once in a while. So I've had several people that have been paying a little bit of attention to what I've been doing and signed up for cards. And so referral bonuses have actually been nice for a few of those. And so then after I had my Amex Platinum upgraded, I got that spend done. And so I got the bonus. Then I paid a little bit more attention to Chase Sapphire. So I went in with the Chase Sapphire Reserve just off the bat. I was able to hit that to get my bonus on that one. And I will say, since I've been traveling more, their lounges are very nice, the Chase Sapphire Reserve lounges. And I was traveling with the guy that owns Electrified Marina, his wife and his daughter. And I just had to pay one person to get in the lounge. And we all were able to just hang out and have a good time in San Diego for a number of hours. And they were both just blown away with how nice those lounges are.
Can we cut into that real quick and just say, so you're effectively traveling with essentially your boss slash owner of the company, and he is getting into the lounge, him and his family, with you on that trip. I absolutely love that. And this is where I love how points and miles in this game can just elevate the strategy so much and lifestyle. Because when would that ever happen otherwise outside of this world? So I had to just cut in and kind of reiterate, because that was a super cool story. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, and they loved it too. So it was fantastic. So yeah, I just have to say that about Chase lounges. I've noticed, and the guests, you know, being able to bring that many guests is a huge benefit. I've been able to get my daughter in a lounge with me, my brother, my sister. You know, it's just nice when you're traveling with a group of people or family that might not have their own card, or if the lounge is full, you still get priority with Chase. So anyway, so I got that card. That was my second card. And as you know, I come to you and I'm like, hey, what do you think for my next card? I'm trying to be financially responsible. And I haven't dove in and just got card after card after card because, you know, I'm thinking ahead of like, am I going to be spending that amount of money in order to hit the amount you have to get the bonus? And so I do have some things upcoming, and I'm speaking strategy with you a little bit on how to make the next move, especially because I am self-employed. I have not dabbled yet into the business cards, which I should. even for my little photo booth business, there's, you know, different things and ways that it can be helpful. So that'll probably be my next move. But so far, it's just really been those two. And I've focused on what the earn rates on for each of them. Something I've done this year is offer to book people's plane tickets on my credit card and then them just Venmo me. So when my family all took a trip to Maine together, it was like six of us flying, you know, that can be a good amount of points that you're getting. Or now that some of my friends, and you've probably experienced this too, DeAndre, like now that your friends are getting more into the points of mile world, they're not as quick to be like, sure, you put it on your credit card. So it's changed a little bit, but yeah, it's definitely been helpful to be able to be the one booking the hotel, booking the flights, and then people just kind of Venmo me from there.
Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. And I love that story because it shows that we can all do the points game differently. You've been a little bit more methodical with it and not going just super crazy saying I'm opening up everything. You're taking your time, making sure that A, is what you're doing, does it make sense for your personal financial strategy, your personal travel strategy, everything else? But then again, capitalizing on some of the things that others may not be taking as much advantage of, as having friends, you know, Venmoing you or getting the referral bonuses as people are seeing how you're able to travel as well. And it's a cycle, which I absolutely love. So we got to transition now and talk about some of these trips that you've taken in this past year. And I want to start, because you already mentioned it, about Europe and Portugal. And can you tell us a little bit about that trip as a whole? Because I know it was amazing. I saw the pictures, we talked about it, but I'd love the listeners to hear about how did you make an amazing summer Europe trip happen?
So I've never been to Europe, and I was like, it is time. What is going on that I've never been to Europe? I need to go. And so I decided, I was like, it's going to be one of my months. I picked September, and my friend Samantha, she was like, I'm down. Let's go. Let's book the tickets. And it was a little bit of an interesting story because she ended up getting both the Amex and the Chase. But at the time we were booking a lot of the flights, I had the points and she didn't. So we just kind of did, I booked the flights and then later she booked some of the hotels to kind of make the points even. So I started off by taking your advice, which is like looking at flights first. And we both live in the Norfolk area, like Virginia Beach for me, but Norfolk for you. But our airport, I love Norfolk Airport. Every time I fly there, I'm like, you know what? We are really lucky. It's not the grandest. We don't have any lounge, but last time I flew, I was through security and checked in 10 minutes. So anyway, side note. But yeah, so I was looking from Norfolk and I was like, I just need to get us to Europe anywhere. And I didn't want to fly economy either way. So I started looking at points redemptions. And on the way there, I ended up booking just with points like from Norfolk to JFK, 5,000 for first class on American. It was Alaskan Airlines points. So I was like, okay, that's cool. Then Air France premium economy, which I will say was nice experience. It was definitely now flying back. I flew business, what is called flagship business on American, and that with the lie flat seats and everything. Then I'm glad I did it that way, because if I would have went lie flat there and then premium economy back, I would have felt differently, especially because the seats are not all that comfortable, in my opinion, in the premium economy, at least with Air France. But yeah, so I just found a flight that was a good amount of points to get to Europe. And then I figured we could just buy little flights within Europe. So it was like 30,000 points to get to Switzerland per ticket for premium economy. So we did that. And little bit interesting story. I didn't know that there's two sides of the Geneva airport. And so like there's the French side and then the Swiss side. And we walked out on the wrong side and we're very confused on where our airport shuttle was to the hotel. But we got it all figured out, thank goodness. So anyway, Geneva just did one night there. And then there was a Amex, like if you spend $300, you get $100 back. So we did that for one night. And then we just booked a Swiss Air flight from Geneva to Lisbon. And so Lisbon, such a cool city. And we flew in from Switzerland. So we didn't have any of the issues that I know some people complain about with going through passport control. It was an easy process for us. And my friend Samantha, who I was traveling with, she had not used her Fine Resort and Hotel credit yet. So we booked the Emerald House in Lisbon using the Fine Hotel and Resort credit. And that includes, of course, your breakfast for two in the morning. And it was the rooms were very small there. We did get an upgrade, but the balcony was like maybe the size of a refrigerator, I would say. But it was a beautiful hotel. It was just kind of compact and in an area that was like mostly residential, which was kind of interesting. It was a little quieter part of the city, but we did a food tour in Lisbon and that was fantastic. I also learned their national dish is cod, which is really interesting because it does not swim in their waters. They get it all from Iceland. So it's like mostly dried, but I also got to try sardines. And I mean, the wine in Portugal is fantastic. And just overall the vibe in Lisbon was amazing. And as two women traveling together, we felt safe the entire time. Like Ubers were like $6 or $7 for an Uber. It was very affordable in my opinion. And just kind of everything that you picture Lisbon being. And I really enjoyed that. Then we did a day trip to Sintra. So if you know what Pena Palace looks like, and I wanted to see the initiation well, which if you look at pictures of the initiation well, it just feels like you're out of this world. Like it's incredible, like the castles and everything. So we did a day trip to Sintra and then we took a train from Lisbon down to the Algarve. So the Algarve is the south coast of Portugal and it is stunning. Like it's stunning. And so points wise, my friend Sam, Samantha, she had like this Navy Federal card since she was a teenager. And we were looking at point redemptions for hotels in the Algarve because I can see with my Chase Sapphire Reserve different options than she can with the points boost. And then we were looking at Hyatts and Hiltons and we just weren't finding anything that was like really a fantastic redemption or at least not in areas where we wanted to be staying because in the Algarve, we wanted to rent a car and explore the different towns. And so we wanted to pick somewhere kind of central, not on one end or the other. And so she looked in her Navy Federal portal and she had this beautiful golf hotel resort in the Algarve that she could reserve on Navy Federal points, which again, you can't transfer out. Like those points are there. And so she was able to do a redemption for the three nights that we spent there. And that resort was beautiful. It had breakfast included every morning. I mean, I didn't play golf, but I guess it's a famous golf resort. There was a lot of people there, you could tell very specifically for golf, but it was just very sprawling and spread out. And our room was huge. It felt more like a villa than a room. So that was beautiful. And it was also a great place to launch from for us to explore the different towns and areas. And we took a catamaran ride, which was one of the highlights of my trip from Albufeira. And it was, I think, 2 or 3 hours. And the Benajel Caves is part of what you see. So instead of like, there's a trail you can hike above, or you could see it from the water. But, you know, the caves and the coastline was fantastic. But like, there's just these dolphins that put on the most amazing show I've ever seen. And I've been out on boats quite a bit and I've been around wildlife quite a bit. And it was just such a stunning experience to be at the front of that catamaran, like sitting up and there's dolphins just surrounding us. And we're in Portugal and the coastline is just stunning. So I really liked that. And the Algarve, it has a different vibe in every town that you go to. So a lot of them have little castles or historical monuments and you just drive and one town might be mostly whitewashed buildings and you feel like you're in Greece. And then another little town is just specifically known for its chicken. And then you go to another town and it's like very focused on wine. So I really enjoyed kind of that exploring, seeing different little towns and being able to like shop and eat and explore. It felt like traveling to more than one country, just going from Lisbon to the Algarve, two very different vibes. And so from there, we flew Ryanair, which is an experience. It feels like you're in an infomercial the entire time. But it was really cheap. So we flew Ryanair from Faro, which is the airport down in the Algarve, to Madrid. And I was the most excited about our hotel in Madrid. We stayed at the Thompson Hotel, which is a Hyatt property. And I think we did 25,000 points a night there. And the suite that we got, I mean, I was blown away. The balcony, I could have had a party of 30 people on that balcony.
Wow.
It was a corner balcony. It overlooked the city square that we were in. Everything that you want to see in Madrid was walkable from there. Literally, we took an Uber from the airport, took an Uber back, and between that, we just walked to the palace and, you know, the major squares and everything that was kind of on our list to see in the very short 2 days that we were there. We went to a lot of museums, and of course, I had to have paella, and, you know, it was my 2 days in Spain, so I was, like, eating and drinking all the Spanish things. So that was an amazing hotel, and you could just tell that they paid attention to who you were walking in. They recognized your face. The doorman knew exactly who to open the door for and welcome in. And the rooftop pool was incredible. It was a little chilly when we were there to swim, but we sat up there and the sunsets. It was an amazing experience. I'll have to send you videos from that suite because, yeah, that is definitely one that I won't forget. And they had a very nice welcome gift for us as well. They had some drinks. They had like a branded bag and some other local delicacies that they kind of gave as a gift, which was a very nice touch as well.
Did you reach out to them ahead of time to let them know that you were coming? Did you book the suite on points? Did you just get the upgrade? I'm really curious as to how did you get the suite? How did you get a welcome bag? Or is that just kind of what they delivered to you? You just showed up and they were like, here, we're laying out the red carpet for you guys.
Yeah. So Sam booked it with points. And I think it was just the 25,000. That was what the suite cost. If you just switch over from looking at a standard room to a suite on their website, the points were still like 25,000 a night, which to me, for that level of a hotel, was a great redemption. So yeah, I will say their service was fantastic. Every hotel, I ask for a fan at every hotel that I stay at. I like the white noise for sleeping. And immediately it was just anything that we needed. They took care of us. They were very helpful and gave us some good pointers on where to get paella and like, should we go see flamenco and some of the things of best ways to get around the city. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed my stay there. It was definitely a moody vibe, you know, the decor and everything. They have like black marble but they also have this bathtub with this view of the city. And so it was pretty fantastic. That would be one I would recommend to people if they wanted like an elevated stay in Madrid, location wise as well, just in Old Madrid. Very, very nice.
Now, did you have a direct flight back to the States from Madrid, or did you get the position to some other part of Europe to get back? I know you said you flew American flagship first on the way back.
This is my very favorite redemption because I actually found it all the way from like Madrid to Norfolk in one fell swoop point wise, which is pretty rare. Our stop off was in JFK on the way back. But yeah, so it was with American. It was the flagship business. It was my first time ever flying lie flat seats and having that whole experience with the multiple course meals and the flight attendant who just literally like did everything for you. And it was so fantastic and so comfortable. It was a great way to end the trip and to get all the way back home as well and not have to do the separate positioning flight is pretty rare for us here. So that was a fantastic redemption in my opinion because I was 42,000 points and it was like a $4,400 flight. So
wow.
I was very happy with myself on that one. I was like, big pat on the back.
That's a great job. Almost a 10 cent redemption right there alone on just that one component. I absolutely love that. I want to unpack a couple of things that you mentioned. So you flew in to Switzerland, you flew out from Madrid. Your overall goal is you wanted to get not just to Europe, but Portugal specifically. I'm really curious. I'm going to make an assumption here, but tell me if I'm wrong, that when I know you already said that you just had to get to Europe, right? So that's how you figured out that you found the flight with a great deal on points to Switzerland. My assumption, and I could be wrong here, is that because you booked your flights first, you found that the best route back was through Madrid, and that's what dictated your Madrid travel. You weren't originally saying, hey, I want to do Portugal and Madrid. It was just, I want to do Portugal, and you end up having a trip of Switzerland, Portugal, and Madrid because of the fact that the best route there was Switzerland and the best route back home was Madrid. Is that a fair statement?
You nailed it. That's exactly it. I based the trip around the flights because I was like, you know what? If you can fly somewhere for $70 within Europe, I just feel like I was willing to make a couple of shuffles in the trip to get the flights that I really thought were an amazing value. And I wanted to see as much as I could with also not feeling like as soon as I settle in one hotel, I'm at another one. So we, you know, again, the two nights, three nights, two nights, it wasn't a terrible amount of change. I think it was a good pace, at least because with my first trip to Europe, I definitely was like, I want to see all the things. I want to do all the things. I was hoping for more stamps in my passport, but as everybody's knowing now, they're not stamping a lot. I got one in France because I left the one section of the airport to go to the lounge and then got stamped back in, and then nobody else was stamping my passport. But I was able to see three different, I mean, technically we stopped in France, but that doesn't count if you don't leave the airport in my book. But yeah, so Switzerland and then Portugal and then Spain. So Madrid, the energy was just fantastic. Like it felt a little bit like a more fashionable, I don't know how to describe it besides it was a little bit electric, and we were able to actually go to one of the best bars in the world, which I know you and Taryn are big fans of. So we went to Salmon Guru. And we timed it right because I guess a lot of times it's not a big space. A lot of times it's a significant wait and they don't take reservations because I tried. So we timed it exactly right. But it was a very interesting atmosphere. I don't even know how to describe it because it was like pop 90s / Under the Sea vibes / action hero. I don't know. It was an interesting bar and they're very comical in their menu and some of the ways that they were naming things, but the drinks were fantastic and all the food that we tried there was amazing. So I can see why it got rated as one of the top 50 bars in the world for sure.
And there's definitely a reason why we always make an effort wherever we go to try to stop into any and all of the top 50 bars that we can in the cities that we go to, especially because the list changes every single year as well. Well, Katie, I want to start wrapping up here a little bit, but this was awesome as we started to unpack this trip and this experience, because the key things I want to hit on for someone new is that you set your destination as Portugal and you kind of figured out how to do it. And you found the most ideal flight to get there and flight back. And that wasn't directly to Portugal. And you lucked out that getting back home was all the way through Norfolk, but your first flight was another positioning flight, which you used points from out of JFK. So you clearly have followed the principles of points and miles to say, how do I kind of get in the general area and back? And then you figure out the small pieces in between and you build a trip that way. And while that's very different from the way of traveling typically, where you say, oh, I want to go to Portugal, what's the cash cost to go here on these days, cash cost to go back? You did it the right way from a points and miles standpoint. So my question for you, Katie, if you happen to know, roughly how many points in total did you guys end up using, and roughly what would have been the cash equivalent in general, or how much cash did you actually outlay? And do you know roughly how much it would have been if you had not used points?
So I know that we each ended up spending about $600, and then we each ended up spending probably 80 or 90,000 points. So I have added up, I mean, it's over a $10,000 trip with the airfare. Just the flight home alone was $4,400. Some of those hotels are $800 a night. So we saved, both of us, me and Samantha both saved I mean, at least $4,000 each, $5,000 each, not spending our dollars, but are spending our points instead. And really 80,000 points, that's less than her signup bonus. So, and that was less than the bonus that I got. So really with opening one credit card, we planned this fantastic trip to Europe and were able to see these different countries. And so that is very exciting. And again, I'm a beginner. So it's been very exciting for me, and also, you know, a learning curve. And I think that one of my takeaways from this is that even though I'm a beginner, it feels like I'm a little bit further than a beginner after completing this trip. So I would encourage other people out there who are listening to the podcast that are just kind of learning and putting some of this into practice, that having something done and complete, you do feel a little bit more confident. And it also gives you like a barometer of what your goal should be, or what you can set as another redemption. Not that you'll always hit the 42,000 points right to your hometown for a first class seat, but just gives you that confidence that you are able to manage something like this. And when you're looking at the dollars that you did save, or having this incredible trip to me to Europe and only spending $600 out of my pocket, that is worth all of the scrolling hours on the couch of trying to figure this out and listening to the podcast and just constantly being able to like learn and grow in a different area that merges two things that I love, which is travel and then also saving money. I think a lot of you out there listening feel the same. So we're kind of figuring this out together. I just feel like I'm one of the other listeners, but if I can do it, definitely you can too.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That is a fantastic way to wrap up the show, but I still have to ask a couple last questions before we do, which is, the first is, what's next with points now? You just said that this kind of changed your perspective, made you see what's possible. What's your next big redemption that you're trying to either plan out or already have planned out?
So, as I mentioned, I'm doing one trip a month this year, and here we are in October, and my November trip, I'm taking my daughter to Puerto Rico, and we're going to stay at a Hyatt there that's pretty fantastic in the rainforest, so that's going to be a redemption for points. And then I haven't planned December yet, and I don't think I'll be traveling at the same exact pace next year, but I definitely have some very exciting trips that I have in mind that I look forward to. And so, yeah, Puerto Rico is the next one for November. That should be a great trip. And all the Hyatt properties that I've visited so far, I've been really impressed with. So I'm sure that one will be not an exception to the rule.
Well, Katie, I know you're an accomplished real estate agent, and you have this very unique component as well of being in the electric boat sales world also. So where can the listeners follow you?
So you can find me on Instagram. I'm KT_take-me-to-the-sea. We might have to just put that on the screen.
We'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah, link it in the show notes. And then Katie Powers on Facebook. Again, I'm just a listener and a client, and I'm certainly not a pro at this yet, but I'm excited. I'm in the WhatsApp group chat for the Boldly Go group, and I love watching that. And I've asked questions in there sometimes, and I've gotten some good advice, and I love the community. And so that's been a benefit as well.
Awesome, Katie. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. A last couple of questions for you. You know, I always like to ask, who else should we have on the show? So I'm curious, who comes to mind that you think could also bring a lot of value to our listeners, just like you did today?
So I would say, and this one's kind of different than most because he's not really in the points and miles space, but one of my real estate trainings, he's an AI guru. His name's Phil Stringer, and he ended up going viral because he ended up being the only person on an American Airlines flight. And it's a pretty funny story. So I think he might have some unique insight.
Awesome. Well, we'll take a look into that and maybe have him on the future show. Katie, any last thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, I think something worth noting is that for any of you guys out there that are in the points and miles space, trying to best figure out how to manage your money, I have to say, as one of DeAndre's clients, his advice to me is invaluable. And now our strategy when we talk finance, my financial planning. We also are talking points and miles when it makes sense. And when it doesn't make sense, he's honest with me about it. But there are other times where we can incorporate that into my long-term planning and my short-term planning and what points and dollars make the most amount of sense for me. So I would say if you're considering getting a financial planner, especially if you're in this space, I couldn't recommend him more. He's done fantastic things with the money that I've given him, and where I am with my points and miles obviously would not be possible without him.
Well, thank you so much, Katie. That was unscripted, unsponsored. I will send you the check in the mail for that endorsement as well. So I sincerely appreciate it. But thank you seriously, though, for being on the show today. I think your angle, your bringing the beginner standpoint of points and miles is fantastic, because oftentimes we have guests on the show who are absolute experts and even way more knowledgeable than me in the points and miles space. But I do think it's important to go back to basics often and not just talk through, oftentimes I'll talk through the philosophy of points and miles, but also someone that's newer in the space showing how they did it themselves. And while I do encourage people to say, hey, get that first redemption, even if it's just transferring some points from Chase to Hyatt and booking a stay at a Hyatt place, I mean, you took it to a much more elevated level. I know this wasn't technically your very first redemption, but this was one of your first few. And I mean, you had an incredible trip that I would love to mimic myself, hitting on the fact that I haven't been to Switzerland, I haven't been to Portugal, and I've been to Spain, but I have not been to Madrid. So I could easily replicate, or try to replicate, I should say, what you did. Not necessarily easily, but I could do it because it was such an incredible trip. I think something that Taryn and I would love to do, and probably many of the listeners would love to have a similar experience like you did as well. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. For listeners out there, if you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to follow us on all social media channels, sign up for our newsletter, our YouTube channels, all the things, our Facebook group, if you're not in there already, as well as Katie alluded to, the WhatsApp community chat. We have a very vibrant, very engaged community there as well. And as always, don't forget to like, share, subscribe on whatever platform you're watching or listening to this on. Tell your friends, because like Katie, by you telling your friends about your points and miles traveled and about this podcast, you might get another player too that can help revolutionize the way you take your next trip. And with that, we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Can you travel in a way that's better for people and the planet? On Curious Tourism, the Responsible Travel Podcast, we explore how tourism shapes our world, for better or worse. From overtourism and sex tourism to last chance travel, join me, Erin Hines, and my producer, Katie Lohr.
That's me.
To explore the ways in which we can all travel better and build a positive tourism future. Subscribe to Curious Tourism wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm David Brody, co-host of the Travel in 10 podcast. Together, myself and my co-host, Tim Johnson, have traveled to over 150 countries around the world and all seven continents. Now we're sharing our favorite places, some of our best tips and experiences from all around the world in just 10 minutes on Travel in 10. Join us at voyescape.com.